Welcome to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock, Bob Leonard in studio today. Gary Bell's son out in the sun in Arizona, so we're going to miss him for another week, but he gets a well-deserved rest. In the meantime, Bob and I are going to take care of any of the calls you have, any questions you have. We're going to talk to you about anything you need to talk about that's legal-related, any legal questions. We're not a political show, but we're more than happy to talk to you about whatever happens in your legal life. We've been doing this show for about 15 years or so, about 700 shows or more, and it all depends on you. We'll start the show out by talking about some general topics in our legal world, in our legal lives. We're personal injury lawyers. We do personal injury cases. If you've been hurt as a result of the negligence of another, give us a call. We'll talk to you. We'll put together a legal game plan for you. You can call us at 303-795-5900. You can call us at any time of the day or night. If you've been hurt and you have a question, we have lawyers on call that can call you back if they're not available to answer your questions. We'll make a meeting for you to come in. We'll give you a legal game plan. We'll discuss with you how best to address compensation for the injuries which you've experienced as a result of the negligence of another. You can also contact us at bellpollock.com or championsofthepeople.com. But today and every single Saturday morning from 7 to 8 o'clock, you can give us a call and we'll talk to you about what goes on in your legal life and what questions you might have. If we can't give you the answer, we'll find someone who can. We'll find lawyers and we'll give you calls later on. We'll discuss it with you and we'll get you taken care of. You can call us at 303-713-8255. That's 303-713-8255. Or you can call us if you're in Steamboat Springs at 970-457-1009. That's 970-457-1009. Bob, how are you doing today?
Doing great, Brad.
Yeah, it's nice to have you here. Bob, you know, we were talking a little bit before the show about when New Year's Eve tomorrow, day after is New Year's Day. Got a lot of concerns with drivers out on the roads at that point.
You know, Brad's looking on, reading some material about New Year's and New Year's Eve. You know that almost 40% of all deaths were due to alcohol or alcohol-related occur around, well, on January 1st is the most dangerous day of the year to be driving. Because most people, you know, they party on the 31st and they drive on the 1st, so it's a good time not to be on the streets.
That says a lot right there. You have to pay attention. You have to know what's going on with your drinking. And, you know, it's not just, it's drinking. And then it's also the odd things or the strange things you might do when you've been drinking. As in, next thing you know, you're a little more willing to get on the phone and do some texting or to get on the phone and talk to people. And driving takes a great deal of attention anyway. This is a dangerous activity you're carrying out. When you're carrying it out after drinking, it's even worse, Bob. I mean, it just amazes me. And then even when you're drinking, you let your guard down, you start doing other things because you're drinking, you're doing nothing more than asking for people to be injured.
You know, driving is the most difficult thing we probably do every day. It's the most risky thing we do every day. It's the most probably the thing we accept the risk from we do every day. Throwing a couple drunks and some alcohol, you've been drinking, they've been drinking, and your risk is just astronomical. Best thing to do is not be on the streets. Have someone else drive for you. Don't be a drunk driver on July 1st or January 1st. Just the ramifications are too great. I mean, who wants to start the year with a DUI on your record? Who wants to start the year with an arrest? It just isn't worth it.
Yeah, and who wants to start the year hurt from a drunk driver or having your problems? We're going to go to the phones right now. We're going to talk to Michael as a Social Security question. Call us at any legal topic or any legal matter. Call us at 303-713-8255. If you're in Steamboat Springs, call us at 970-457-1009. Michael, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you, Mr. Bell?
Good. What can I do for you?
I have a question. I received, I'm on Social Security, SSI, I've been disabled since I was 25, but I'm not on SSI disability. I'm just on SSI.
Okay.
And I've tried to work ever since I got on SSI, and I have held jobs, but for some reason, Social Security Administration won't give me SSDI too. And I was wondering if there's any way I could try to obtain that on the letter they gave me was with the increase, I only get $750 a month.
Right.
In the letter there, they said if you're unmarried, if you were disabled at 22, and I was disabled at 25, and another stipulation. I can't remember it. I might be able to claim some of my parents' money.
Right. Okay.
If one of your parents are deceased and both of my parents are deceased, I might be able to claim some of my parents' money. So I was just wondering if there's any way I could... I called the Social Security Administration, and they said, no, you're disabled at 25, not 22. But I don't get disability. I get SSI, and I have worked while I'm on SSI. And I have reported it, and they know all about it. And now I can't work because I have an aortic aneurysm in my heart valve. I don't know.
All right.
Do you have any advice?
Okay.
You say
you have applied for SSDI?
Well, I talked to them on the phone. That's about it. I haven't applied.
Oh, no. You got to go through. You know, SSI is a supplemental security income. SSDI is for disability insurance or disability income. And there's a huge difference as far as even the amount of money you get. To qualify for SSDI, we would have to show that you're unable to perform even a desk job, any kind of sedentary work on a competitive basis. And that means 8 hours a day and 5 days a week. Would you qualify for that? Or, you know, have you been tested? Have you had any kind of anybody come in and check to see what your ability is to work and check out your impairments and disabilities?
Would I allow that, or would I?
Have you had that happen? Is anybody?
No, I haven't.
Okay. You said you have a heart valve.
Yeah, I have an aneurysm in my aortic heart valve that needs to be operated on.
Okay. Well, it needs to be operated on. Normally, have you had what's called a functional capacity test of any kind to determine what you're able to do and what you're not able to do?
No, I haven't.
All right. So there's some testing that has to be done, and we have to work on it a little bit. Michael, can you hold on? We have to go to a break. Can you hold on so we can talk to you after the break?
Sure.
Okay, hold on. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Bell and Paul Legal Show. You can call us at 303-713-8255. If it's in Steamboat Springs, call us at 970-457-1009. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock and Bob Leonard in the studio today talking to you about any legal topic you might have. We're going to stay with the phones right now. If you have a question, if you want to call us at 303-713-8255. If you're in Steamboat Springs, call us at 970-457-1009. We're talking to Michael, who is on SSI. He gets Social Security income. or supplemental security income is what it's known as, to help him with his condition. He wants to know about SSDI. And, Michael, you know, SSDI starts with being able to prove you're totally disabled, that you're unable to perform even a desk job or any kind of sedentary job on a competitive basis. So that you know, normally that's going to require getting the medical record, seeing if a doctor has stated that. And if a doctor hasn't stated that, getting one to say it. If the doctor has stated that, you might have to get a functional capacity test or some other test. And then it also means you have to have paid into the Social Security program long enough to be covered. And do you know if that's the reason they're rejecting you?
That's the reason.
Okay. And when you've talked to them, have you actually called up Social Security and discussed it with them?
Yes, I have.
And
that's what they said.
Okay. Now, you said
I haven't worked for the past 5 years, yeah.
Okay. And have you tried qualifying under your parents' Social Security?
That's what I'm trying to do right now. I haven't applied for anything, though. My parents are deceased.
Okay. Bob?
Well, you know, why don't you give us a call or call me on Tuesday or Wednesday of next week, and we can help you. We'll refer you to a person that specializes in Social Security disability and Social Security. I mean, they can help you with figuring out what the difference between SSI and SSDI. One's means tested. One is actually you pay in through your career when you're working. Once you become disabled, then you may be able to qualify. So give me a call and...
Well, hold on, Michael. We're going to get your phone number before you get off. But, you know, the thing is here is we've got to look at the different angles. And if this is just from calling up Social Security and talking to them, although I have occasion to talk to the people at Social Security, and they're very helpful. They're very knowledgeable. But we have to explore some of the reasons why you're not entitled to benefits under Social Security. Yeah. You indicated that you started having this condition in your early 20s, or did you have it in your teens, or when did you first notice the condition?
Mental illness in my teens.
In your teens?
Yeah, and did 19. I was hospitalized.
You were hospitalized?
Mm-hmm.
Did you start qualifying for Social Security back then for any kind of income?
Just A and D.
Okay. Well, that's gonna put another wrinkle into what we can do for you. I think that, you know, that do you remember if you were getting or if your parents were getting any kind of Social Security income for you when you were in your teens?
For me?
Yes.
No, they weren't.
Okay, and I'm sorry to hear about your parents. How long ago did they pass away?
My dad passed away in 2002. And my mom passed away in 2008.
How old were you when your mom passed away?
How old was I?
Yeah.
I have to do the math.
Yeah.
Just a minute.
How old are you now, Michael?
I'm 50. I'll be 52 in February.
52?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that would have made you about 43 back when your mom died, and about 36 or 37 when your dad died. We're going to need to talk to you about your unique circumstances. So I want you to hold. We're going to get your phone number. Bob's going to call you later this week. And instead of you calling him, Bob's going to call you either Tuesday or Wednesday. We're going to go over your circumstances. And there are attorneys who specialize in this area. Have you talked to any of those attorneys?
No, I have not.
Oh, no. That's our first situation. We got to get you hooked up with an attorney that's going to talk to you about your circumstances to determine how we can qualify you. Do you live in an assisted living program then, or what do you do, Michael?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I live in assisted living, yes.
Let's see what we can do to help you. I'm going to put you on hold, get your number, and you have our number. We announced it on the air. It's 303-795-5900, but we're going to call you too, okay? So I want you to hold. All right?
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Michael, thank you for calling the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. You can call us at 303-713-8255. That's 303-713-8255 about any question that you might have concerning any legal matter, or at 970-457-1000. 800-800-9909. We are talking to you today about any legal matter, anything you have going on in your life that you need help with. As you can see with Michael, if we think you need a specialist, we'll get in touch with you later in the week. We'll get you your unique circumstances. We'll get you to somebody who can and will be able to help you with regard to your circumstances, at least get you some final answers. We've been talking a little bit, and we continue to talk about the danger on the roads on New Year's Eve and New Year's morning. And that's the biggest part, New Year's morning. That's when you've got people out driving. We can talk about DUIs. We can talk about the terrible situations you're going to face. You don't want to get caught up in the DUI system, folks. There's too many ways you can avoid it nowadays. So you can get designated drivers. You can have Lyft. You can get cabs. There's ways not to drive. If you can't do that, walk. It's going to be very, very cold this New Year's Eve. So
it's supposed to be about 3 degrees.
Yeah. So, you know, walking may be out of the question. But, you know,
they should have that designated driver, Brad.
But, and you know what? That's very important. And I want to tell everybody that I dealt with a case years and years ago, and it was a very unfortunate case. It was a very difficult case. It did result in a person dying, actually a couple of people dying on Christmas Eve with a designated driver, but the designated driver drank. They'd been identified as a designated driver, and they drove. That person let down their guard and started drinking at some of the locations, some of the bars, and it caused a bigger problem. And then next thing you know, you're in a crash, and it kills some of the passengers. And so if you're a designated driver, you need to honor that responsibility.
You know, Brad, my son belongs to a fraternity up in Fort Collins, and they actually have designated brothers, where they have one or two people in the fraternity that will not drink on certain designated days to drive people around. So if one of their fraternity brothers goes to someplace, doesn't feel confident about driving, they'll pick them up and take them home. And I think, you know, people should go out for this New Year's, pick somebody, get someone who will be the designated driver. They won't be drinking, just to make sure that you get safely home after the celebration.
It's important. I want to make sure everybody understands that you have social host liability, and you also have the Dram Shop Act. You've been hurt by a drunk driver. There may be a number of different places that you can look for protection and for help to get recovery for the injuries you encounter and that you sustain. Let's start with the basics. And the basics are something that Gary and I have been preaching for the last 15 years on the radio. We've been doing this that long, talking to people, and the basics, you need to understand the basics, and that's having your own insurance protection. You can say all you want that, hey, if he hits me, he's responsible, or if she runs into me, she's got to pay for it. But the bottom line is that there's a lot of uninsured drivers. I think last time Gary and I did a show with regard to that area, we talked about the fact that it's over 20% of the drivers on the road are uninsured. And then if you take the ones who are insured, you're going to have a large number of those who have the minimum amounts of $25,500. That's $25,000 per person and $50,000 per crash. I want everybody to understand it. You know, for those of you who get that insurance, fantastic. It's better than nothing. But I also want everybody to understand that doesn't cover a lot. It doesn't cover a whole lot. And please don't waive your $5,000 med pay. Please don't do that. Try and get it higher if you can. Please don't waive your underinsured motorists, your uninsured motorists. I've run into policies where people get $100,000 of insurance to cover the if they hit somebody, but they only get $50,000 for themselves because it saves them just a few dollars. That's all it saves you is a few dollars. You can't do that.
We certainly do not want someone to be, you know, have a lifetime disability because they were in a car accident and not have enough money to protect themselves for their future needs. You need that underinsured motorist coverage to protect yourself. Like Brad was saying, the minimums in Colorado, $25,500, that's not going to get you anywhere. I mean, that's a couple days maybe in the hospital, maybe some diagnostic testing. You need much more protection.
Yeah, $25,000 isn't a lot of coverage. If you can get more, please get it. But at least get that, though. That's what the law says, and get it. But then there's other places where you can look to help if you've been injured as a result of a drunk driver. And we're going to talk a little bit about that on the other side. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Bell and Paul Kliegel Show. Brad Pollock, Bob Leonard in the studio today. You can contact us at 303-713-8255. If you're in Steamboat, call us at 970-457-1009. We're going to talk to Eric over at Caitlin's. They have my favorite pancakes, and they don't even have to flour them up with a bunch of stuff, although they do.
Absolutely, we can.
Yep, they got all sorts of stuff to do that. They can put everything on there you want. But, man, I just love their plain pancakes. They're
absolutely
fantastic.
You know, those are scratch-made buttermilk pancakes, and we do serve a ton of those things. But we are rounding out the week, with our last couple of specials. We're going to start with that breakfast special. That's going to be a two-egg omelet. Now, we're going to load that up. We're going to put ham, bacon, sausage, carne adobada, which is our slow-roasted pork, in there. We're going to saute some mushrooms and some onions. We're going to put cheddar and jack cheese on top of that. As always, you can get our red or green chili on that, made right here on the premises. I highly recommend that grain. It's out of this world. That comes with a side of hash browns, and you can get toast tortilla or those pancakes on the side. Got to try those pancakes if you haven't done it already. And that lunch special for the last part of the year is going to be our Santa Fe salad. Now, we're going to charbroil a chicken breast, lay that on a bed of greens. Again, we're going to put that cheddar jack cheese on there, some of those diced hatch green chilies, lettuce, tomatoes, black olives, cucumbers, carrots, all the fixings on there, your choice of dressing on that. That's going to be the lunch specials around the year out, and we're doing gingerbread pancakes. Since you mentioned about loading up those pancakes, we're doing gingerbread pancakes to run out the rest of the year. Those are really good if you want to come in and try those. And don't forget, we're going to keep on going with that taco and burrito buffet. That's every Monday. That's every Friday. That's from 11 to 2. That is all you can eat. That's only $8.45 in the price, and that actually includes a non-alcoholic beverage in that price. So come on down and check all those things out. We got crafts and mimosas. We got flat screens on. The last of the bowl games are rounding out. We got the last of the year. If you haven't come down to check us out, make your new resolution and come down and see Caitlin's and make it your new favorite, your breakfast spot. And if you have checked us out, come on down and keep on seeing us. We'd love to have you guys down.
Where are you located, Eric?
We are 4379 East Mississippi Avenue. Now, guys, that's one block east of Colorado Boulevard, and that's the Glendale Shopping Center. Come and check us out.
All right, you talked me into it.
Coming down
for the omelet with some side pancakes.
Absolutely. Thank you.
See you, Eric. Thank you. You're listening to the Bell and Paul Kliegel Show. Call us at 303-713-8255. We're going to stay straight with the phones. We've got Martin. Martin, how you doing, buddy?
Hi, Martin.
Hey, guys. Hi, Bob.
Hey, happy holidays to you, Martin.
You too.
You're calling a little late. What's happened? Were you not getting...
I was drunk last month.
Sleeping. Did you drive, Martin?
Fast.
Yeah. No. We don't allow that. So.
No, I don't. Actually, I don't even drink.
I hope you had a designated driver.
So now you want to talk about CRS 24-10-101, don't you?
Yeah, what it is, I have a friend of mine, and last week or so he was involved in a car accident with a City of Boulder snowplow, and the guy's plow was up, so he was not plowing, and the guy made a U-turn in front of my friend's truck, relatively new truck. Anyway, the truck got totaled, and my friend got kind of bunged up, aches and pains and all that other stuff. And luckily, the motorist behind my friend's truck who witnessed the accident was a accident reconstructionist.
Wow.
Was that lucky or what?
No, that is very lucky.
But what my friend is concerned with is, since it's a municipality, and obviously the person was on duty but just not plowing, whether or not there's going to be a burden placed on him in filing a claim against the City of Boulder, and whether or not the Governmental Immunity Act is going to really be a hindrance in him pursuing a claim. Does any of that make sense?
Yes, and it absolutely applies. He absolutely needs to give a governmental immunity notice.
Is that the 180?
182 days. He's got to get out there and get it done. That's one thing. There's a lot of reasons you should go to a lawyer, but, boy, you want to make sure that notice is correct. If it's not correct, you have lost your case, period.
In that notice, do you have to give kind of an overview as to what claims you plan to pursue?
Yep. You have to give them an idea of what they, because, the whole idea is to give the government an opportunity to investigate the claim and determine exactly what they what they might have done or not done wrong. So, you know, the Act says it wants a concise statement of the factual basis for the claim, and a concise statement. You got to give them the date, the time, the place, the circumstances of the action, and what the omissions or what you're complaining about.
And what about the damages that you're going to pursue regarding, yep, like personal injury?
Yep, you're supposed to give them a statement of the amount of monetary damages that you're that's being requested. Now, you know, one thing that's important for everybody to understand when you're talking about that, normally that's going to be an amount where you should pick the highest dollar amount, I believe, maybe sometimes even higher, because in the first 182 days, you may not know the full extent of your injuries. You may still need some information with regard to that. You may need to be able to come in with some more discussion as far as, okay, do I need a surgery? Am I going to recover? You know, Martin, we you and I have talked about this before. If you get hurt and you've got some pain, by the time they get through sending you to all the therapeutic and the massages and the different things they want to send you to that are non-invasive.
What are you talking about, marriage?
we'll talk about that in the other program. But here, when we're talking governmental, when we're talking injuries, it can take a while and before you know how far you're hurt or how bad your injuries are. And, you know, so you've got to make sure you're not foreclosing yourself from being able to identify the injuries you've got and get full compensation. So
really what you're saying is you really have to reveal your hand to the government in your 180-day notice.
Yep.
This is what you're pursuing.
You do. Yep.
But in a way, isn't that kind of contrary to the advice that you give to people when they're talking to the other party's insurance company? Because you're revealing a lot.
Yep, and it's a whole different animal when you're dealing with the government.
So it's really contrary as to if you're dealing with an insurance company on a private level.
But you got to remember, we start with the premise from common law, from the old English law, that you can't sue the government at all. You couldn't sue the king. And so, you know, only by statute did we get ourselves into a situation where you can sue the king. And the only way you can sue the king is by following their specific rules. And that's why you have it. It's a statutory made right, because when we come from common law, you know, understandably, the king didn't allow you to sue him. So,
what do you? Does your firm specialize in that kind of a personal injury claim against municipalities or governments?
Oh yeah, yeah.
So you do that.
We do a lot of them.
You know, if you're in a bus, RTD bus, and there's an accident, it's covered by the governmental immunity statute because it's an entity, a governmental entity. There are a lot of entities you may not even know are covered. Hospitals, for example, and it's capped also. There's a cap, but I think it's $350,000 with a $900,000 cap for the entire, you know, incident. So if you have multiple people, it's capped.
Doctors on loan from that are working for the government and are in a different hospital, they can be protected under the Governmental Immunity Act.
Well, the reason why I'm kind of bringing that up is because wasn't there like maybe about 10, 20 years ago, a bus with a bunch of tourists up in like Glenwood Canyon or something, a big boulder rolled down and smashed the bus and some people were killed. And then they have a tough time recovering because they were suing against...
They did. And back then, the limits were something like $100,000 total.
It was real paltry.
And they passed a special bill in the legislature to compensate some of these people. There was a German tourist, I think, that got...
That's right.
And the boulder rolled down the mountain, hit the bus.
And that's a big area, Martin, because, you know, the limitations. And they've had that with a number of things. I think the fire out in Colorado Springs was part of that, too, where they had to go in and pass special legislation to give people an opportunity to recover from the negligence when the limitations on any one event needed to be exceeded. There are limitations on how much you can recover from the government according to what the different act is, whether it's a malpractice act by a doctor versus somebody who negligently driving a snowplow. But we've carried out many actions where it's been involved on the roads, where you've had governmental cars, people who are in governmental cars are working for the government, snowplows being included, where they have been negligent and they've run people off the road or they've hit people and it's caused injuries. And, you know, you get hit by somebody, you still need to be compensated for your injuries.
Well, the thing is, do these government municipalities, do they have in-house counsel, or do they just retain another law firm that's out there that specializes in that kind of defense?
They have both. Both. I've dealt with in-house counsel. I've dealt with the city attorney's office. And a lot of times you deal with them and their civil division. Most municipalities have a civil division as well as a criminal division. And the civil division are the lawyers handle civil cases against the government. And they will also refer them out to the different defense lawyers throughout the state. You know, that also comes up, you know, you stop to think about it, Martin. It's on your circumstances. It probably would start with in-house counsel. But when you talk about prisoners being hurt
that's right.
That are being detained and stuff, you talk about that's another Governmental Immunity Act matter.
Because there's still that duty of care, isn't there?
That's right. There's still that duty of care. But, you know, it all starts with the Governmental Immunity Act. If you do not get that notice filed, and if you do not get it sent out, and it's got to be sent certified mail and a return receipt, if you don't do it right, you're going to lose every action you could possibly get. Now,
so
that's,
you have to be pretty detailed on that?
Yeah, I believe you need to be detailed. I believe you need to give them enough information somebody could figure out what you're talking about. And that's against governmental employees while they're on the job. Now, if they're not on the job and they're in their civilian life, that's a whole different story.
Yeah, they're fair game for, like, Joe Public out there.
That's exactly right.
And they're also protected unless their actions are with willful and wanton. In other words, if someone did something on purpose or just was totally reckless, possibly they wouldn't have coverage, under, they wouldn't be protected by the governmental immunity statute.
If your snowplow operator was drunk, probably you're not going to get much help from the government on that one. You're gonna be able to sue the snowplow driver.
Well, thanks for helping me. And in fact, my friend brought up your firm, whether or not he should call you or not. Let me talk to him on Saturday morning, which is now.
Tell your friend to give us a call. We'd be happy to talk to him and get him on the right track.
Yeah, you know what his first name is?
No.
Martin.
Well, give
That's
us a call.
Not me, though.
Tell
yeah,
Martin to give
me.
Us a call.
Yeah.
We'll get him going. We'll give him a legal game plan, Martin.
Hey, thanks a lot, buddy.
Thank you. Have a good New Year's, buddy.
Bye.
You too, Bob.
Take care.
See ya.
You're listening to the Bell and Polk Legal Show. You can call us at 303-713-8255. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Bell and Polk Legal Show. Brad Pollock, Bob Leonard in the studio today. We're going to be signing out here in about 10 minutes. You can call us at 303-713-8255, or if you're in Steamboat, call us at 970-457-1009. I want to make sure you all stick around for the Barry and Larry Show, the Consumer Real Estate Show. These men know what they're talking about. They're very good at it. They care about you, the consumer. They go out of their ways to keep you educated and to make sure you know what's going on. Listen to them and learn about your real estate needs and what's going on. After them, you get Ken Moon on. He comes on at 9 o'clock, and he has got a great show. He talks so much about home improvements. He helps you get through it. We're on again at 10 o'clock on KOA, 850 on your dial. You can go on to a pre-recorded show. And you can listen to us on KOA at 10:50. Gary and I do a pre-recorded show for an hour to talk to you about personal injury matters. It's New Year's, folks. Have a great New Year's, and please be safe. We talk about the drinking. Understand, for any of you who are on medications, before you go drink, stop right now, whatever you're doing. Get on the internet and see how whatever you're taking, whatever you might have on board in your system, see how that mixes with what you are about to drink and how much you're drinking. See what it's going to do. Bartenders, people who own bars, people who own these things, understand that you have both criminal and civil liability. I admire establishments that do, that have bars and bartenders and that serve alcohol, but I've also sued a number of them. I've done many dram shop acts. And, you have to pay attention to what your people are looking like. If they look like they're under the influence, you've got to cut them off.
You know, Brad, one thing also is if someone is over-served in a bar, let's say you're talking about a dram shop case, the statute of limitations is shorter. It's just 1 year from the time of the accident as opposed to 3 years for a car accident case. So we need to make sure that people that get hurt, if they hurt because someone was over-served in a bar, they need to get to us or to an attorney quickly. They think the bar has some liability.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. If you've been hurt, you heard earlier there's about the Governmental Immunity Act, about an act that actually shortens the time period in which you must act to 182 days. If it involves the government, you can turn it around. Dram shop acts are one year. And that's not just giving notice. That's filing the lawsuit. And that takes investigation. That takes figuring out what's happened and why the person's hurt. If you suspect you've been hit by somebody who's been drinking or is under the influence of drugs, you want to try and get as much information as you can right away. You want to be able to tell the police officer what you suspect. Listen, I've had people call up when they've been in accidents and, they're on their way to doing something and they don't want to call the police. They don't want to spend the time waiting for the police. If you have significant damage to your car, you're supposed to wait. If you're not an accident alert, you're supposed to wait. If you've been injured, you have to wait.
If you suspect there's alcohol, you need to be waiting.
That's right. If you suspect there's alcohol, you need to be waiting. For those of you who are going to be drinking tonight, make sure that your designated driver, you got to trust your designated driver and believe in him. But, every now and then take a look over there and make sure your designated driver is not drinking. And designated drivers understand the liability that you face when you're going to be a designated driver if you decide that you're going to start drinking. If you're the designated driver and you're permitting everybody else to go drink, then they shouldn't have the extra responsibility to make sure you're carrying out your word and you're going to honor your word. You just don't want that to have to happen. So, honor the system that you've established as far as who's going to make sure who gets home safe.
You don't want a DUI or on your record. You don't want to be sued for being drunk and causing a car accident. I mean, you're not going to be protected by your insurance company if someone files a case against you for exemplary damages or punitive damages for being drunk and driving.
One of the places this starts, we talked about, is having the right insurance for yourself in case the person who did hit you, who does run into you, is drunk or just hits you and it causes injury to you, that you have insurance for yourself to take care of yourself. You're not going to be able to call your insurance agent today or tomorrow. Well, if you might still be able to, and make sure you have proper protection and make sure you have proper coverage. But the bottom line is please make sure you have coverage. Get your med pay as high as you can. Get your underinsured motorist coverage and your uninsured motorist coverage as high as you can, as high as you can afford. Remember, that insurance coverage covers the members in your home, covers the other people in your home, your resident relatives that are in your home. And so, right there, you're building in protection for your children. You're building in protection for your spouse. You're building in protection for other people. Now, you can't expect that one policy and say, I just got to get one policy on me and it takes care of my wife when she's driving a different car. It's probably not going to do that. You're going to have to get separate insurance because there are limitations. But that, you want to get that as much coverage as you can. I want you all to stop and think about, and if you need to, pull it up on the internet and look at it. There's some great tables out there about how much you, the individual that I'm talking to, whoever you might be out there, how much alcohol you can consume within an hour and have yourself at a DUI level or have yourself unable to drive.
It could be just two drinks.
That's right. Could be just two drinks. And, so when you show up and you have that shot, and you start out with a shot and then you're having a second drink, that's it for the hour, or else you're DUI. and you've got yourself in a situation where you could be sued civilly for if you go out and cause a crash and hurt somebody.
You know, another situation, Brad, would be you acquiescing, getting into a car with somebody you know is already drunk, and they get in a car accident. When you try to, you know, if you have a claim against them, because you had knowledge that you get in a car with a drunk person, it could affect your recovery and liability.
Just don't do it. I mean, don't do it. If you understand the person that you're riding with, if you have any belief that they have been drinking and they're drunk, you know, obviously if you sat down and had a drink at dinner and only had one or two and you ate and you were there for an hour or over an hour and there's no problem, that's fine. But if you have any suspicions that that person might be under the influence, don't get in the car. I mean, I've done cases of this where the passenger gets in the back seat and goes to sleep and the driver ends out in a crash and the passenger's crippled. We don't want that. You know, no matter how much money I can recover for that person, the problem is the person's in a wheelchair for the rest of their life. And that's a 24-year-old young man that was in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. We don't want that. You know, yes, I'll do those cases, and yes, we'll give you a legal game plan, but it's better off if we don't have to face that situation.
And remember to wear your seatbelt, too.
So, you know, now that we've preached to you for this opportunity to preach to you to stay safe if you've been hurt in a crash, if you've been hurt as a result of negligence of another, call us, 303-795-5900, or contact us at bellpollock.com or championsofthepeople.com. It's for your legal game plan. Come in, talk to us, and we'll get you down the road to what you need for recovery. In the meantime, it's going to be very cold. Keep yourself warm. Keep yourself safe. Make sure you take care of yourselves, and you all have a happy new year, and we'll talk to you next
week. Happy new year.
It's the simple things in life like when and where. We didn't have no internet, but man, I never will forget the way the moonlight shined upon her head.